You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment. Very good, Gene Johnson. The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's American Horror Story After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's American Horror Story After Show.
The Minotaur sound, I think.
Good evening, AfterBuzzers. We are here at the AfterBuzz TV studios doing things the way things always should be done with Bing. I am your host for the evening, David Skibbity. We are here doing American Horror Story Season 3, Episode 3, The Replacements, and I am joined by a new face this week. New to maybe our American Horror Story fans, not yeah. New to me. But go ahead, introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Sarah Huggins. And happy to be here.
And what shows do we know you from?
I do the client list with this lovely man here.
You've done other shows,
and
though.
And we've done, yeah, The Ringer. I did Julian and Bill. I think that's it.
Cool.
Yeah. Oh.
And I'm Oriana
Leo.
Back
as always.
Yes. Yeah, this is Oriana. My name is Jillian, and we're super excited to be here for this awesome episode, The Replacements.
Crazy episode.
Overall thoughts?
Sexual perversion.
Disturbing.
Yeah. Molestation.
I screamed out loud at least 3 times.
Death.
Everything.
I was perversion. Like, wait, someone died? I forgot completely for a second.
Wow. It was a big death, too.
It just, I don't know, it just slit my mind for some reason.
It slit your mind?
Yeah.
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 Oh my
God. Yeah. I'm actually so sad about that.
Are you?
I'm devastated. I really liked her.
I really thought that it was going to be Queenie. Guys, you know, I've been predicting this for like 2 weeks in a row. Madison? What?
I saw it coming from the very beginning, but...
What made you think that?
Because of the way they set it up, the way that Fiona had killed off the Supreme the first time.
Right.
So that she could be the new Supreme sooner. We know that Fiona's all about herself. She's completely self-absorbed in this, like, insane narcissism. And she tests Madison by putting her in all those situations as soon as she finds out about the fire. As soon as she finds out she's manifesting multiple powers, mm-hmm. she puts her in that situation to see if she could get the guy to cross the street and stand there. Mm-hmm. And that was putting the pieces together. I went, oh, that's her mark. She's going to kill her by the end of the episode.
Really? See, I'm shocked that it happened so fast.
Me too, but still.
I know.
From the character's perspective, I saw the setup coming.
Yeah.
But it was mainly because I was, as we'll talk later, I was seeing this whole woman against woman, witch against witch, mother against daughter vibe going through the whole episode. So I was kind of seeing it from that perspective.
Mm.
Now, David, were you as devastated as I was that Miss Emma Roberts, a.k.a. Madison Montgomery, is done?
I was not, because I don't think she's done.
Okay.
How do you think she's coming back?
Well, Misty's around.
Oh.
So you never know.
So you never
that's
know.
That's true.
And Misty died and she came back and... Kyle died and he came back.
And for all we know, I mean, somebody has the power of resurgence, whether it's Misty or anybody, somebody else.
Somebody
I mean, we never
it.
Know.
And no, who's to say that MM was going to be the Supreme to begin with?
Absolutely.
Just because she's manifesting more powers. They showed us in the beginning of the episode with Fiona and her mentor,
yes.
Anna Lee, that you need to be able to conjure all
seven wonders.
Yeah.
You got it. But the whole point of when the new Supreme flowers, the old Supreme withers, and it's all about Fiona's warped perception that she's withering.
Right, right. Which she is.
She
I mean,
is.
She is.
She looks stunning.
Yeah. Well, it's Jessica Lange.
I mean, yeah.
Come on.
I don't know. I still, I'm going along with my other theory that Zoe is the sleeper supreme.
I think that too.
That's mine.
I'm just anti that. Even if Zoe, even if that's the way it goes, I'm just taking the other way. I just hate Zoe.
But it's like a love-hate thing because you guys can all vouch for me. At one point in this episode, I literally just blurted out, I want to punch her in the face.
Yeah.
Because she's just so weak and her little doe eyes, like she just.
I was just about to say that.
She just needs to be rattled and she needs to overcome it.
She does. But let's focus right now on Miss Fiona, Miss MM, and everything that was happening with these ladies this evening. I mean, we got to see so much of Fiona's backstory
this
week.
The dance.
The dance.
Oh, I love that whole thing.
The beautiful, beautiful dance. And I feel like you stopped us during that.
Oh,
and Sarah, I feel like you should share that. And explained it in a very beautiful way.
Yeah, I mean, I hope I can explain it as beautifully as I did to you guys. But I thought of, when she was talking about that, I thought of this time I went to a winery with one of my best friends, and we were sitting at a table with this other couple, like, and, you know, they were probably maybe in their 60s, and the woman was stunning, flawless. I mean, and didn't look like she had a lot of surgery, like, just beautiful. And her husband was sitting over there, and, like, we had been talking to all of them, and she, like, with tears in her eyes, she was like, girl, she's like, I just have to tell you something. She's like, you need to remember this. And we were like, oh, my gosh, okay, like, what? You know, what is this wisdom she's going to share with us? And she just goes, "One, there will come a day where a man won't even turn his head when you walk by." And she's like, so enjoy. She's like, no matter what you think your flaws are right now, she's like, enjoy them. Because she's like, there will come a day where you're invisible.
And it's a loss of power.
Yeah.
Because we don't even know what kind of power we have until it's gone, I think, sometimes.
Yeah, it was really, I mean, my friend Tara and I, we looked at each other and we were just like, oh my gosh. I mean, she had tears in her eyes. And
now,
she was like,
are you positive it wasn't Jessica Lange in the winery?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure homegirl knows how to booze it.
Yeah.
As we saw in this episode.
God. Yeah.
Booze it with the best of them.
She loves the booze. She loves the pills.
Yep.
She sure likes mixing them.
All of her characters do, I feel like. All of her American Horror Story characters are.
She has this pretty, this like
boozy,
badass,
yeah,
badass bitch kind of walk, you know, and talk, and she backs it up with her behaviors and everything.
Yeah. And her demeanor.
But it was amazing how she pulled in Madison into this little game of the dance and watched it happen and watched her and then saw herself in the whole situation and saw that that was no longer who she was anymore.
Right, but if you have to think about it like this, it might not necessarily have been her powers as a witch.
Just as a woman.
It was just her powers as a woman.
Yeah, I totally agree with
you. And it's like you put this teenager in a bar dressed in a tight white dress, and I mean, of course, all the guys are going to be like fawning over her and giving them her jacket and stuff like
but
that.
But Jessica Lange looks, to me, just as good. She just doesn't have the youth. Like, Fiona looked just as good. She's just not as young.
I think you're absolutely right, though, that it's she's confusing the supreme powers with just feminine wiles.
She admits that she is a shitty supreme, essentially.
She does. Right.
You know, she says, you know, I am selfish. I basically have taken everything, instead of you know, working my powers, doing things for good, I've taken all of my powers and put them back into myself.
And dressed it up in Chanel.
Which, I mean, snaps. Okay, listen.
She said that.
She does look fabulous. But, you know, she's a selfish supreme. And I do think that she is confusing. And how about the girl that played her younger self?
Yeah.
Beautiful.
I mean,
beautiful,
great casting. Amazing.
Great casting.
Yeah.
I love the transitions when they were kind of morphing one into the other. It was beautiful because they didn't look too much alike. But you could see the resemblance. You could see the youth. You could see... You could see that they were so similar that I feel like that maybe that's another reason that Fiona would go after her is that she's another selfish, horrible person that puts everything back into herself and there can only be one of them.
Right.
And if it's going to be one of them, it's going to be Fiona.
I thought the best line, the way that she explained it, is that this coven doesn't need a new supreme. It needs a new rug.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, that's after
which
she
was just like after she slits her throat.
All over
but
it.
Like,
yeah, that's
such
how
a
she,
great line.
That's how she views her world.
Yeah.
Which is disturbing.
Yeah.
I mean, if we're going to compare Madison and we're going to compare Fiona,
yes,
we have to look at a few things. You know, Fiona thinks that she is the next in line, maybe. But I don't think that if Fiona was in Madison's position, I don't necessarily think that Fiona would have brought Kyle back to life.
If Fiona was in Madison's position.
Because Madison brought Kyle back
to life.
Which is, you know, she wanted to do something nice for Zoe.
Mm-hmm. For 5 seconds.
Yeah, and then she left her.
But I mean, you know, essentially now.
And she was sort of returning a favor.
She felt like she was returning a favor, even though Zoe didn't want it to happen.
Right.
And it was against her will.
Right. But now on the flip side of things, would Fiona do something like that?
Probably not. Yeah, not even now, I guess.
So maybe she didn't see all of herself in Miss MM.
Well, she also didn't know about that either.
Right.
Yeah. One of the things that this theme I kept seeing, and maybe it's because of my own personal life, but the mother-daughter, like women, I have a big thing in my life where I want women to support other women. Right. What I kept noticing is that the dance, it's like, if I get the guy, you don't get the guy. You know, I get the guy with my looks, then you can't have him. You know, like Madison mentions that her mom, you know, stole half her coke and let the cops let her take the rap for it. Like, there's this woman against women, not violence, but you know what I mean? Like, kind of not supporting one another or even undermining one another. And then in addition, there's the mother-daughter thing. And I keep seeing it between Cordelia and Fiona and all of these girls. It's disturbing.
There's not, like, a normal, just supportive mother-daughter.
There's not one example.
Anything.
Well, I mean, in any instance, when you put a whole bunch of women in one concentrated area like that, there's always going to be someone who wants to come out first, and there's always going to be, I mean, even with men.
Right.
No matter when you put a whole bunch of men in, like, let's say a frat house or, like, a sorority house or, like, even with Bad Girls Club, it's just, like, there's always going to be someone who wants to stand out and assert themselves as the lead person.
When
or the
that
lead
person
power.
Is, like, 40 years older, that's when it gets really
that's
heinous.
That's when it gets weird.
Yeah.
I know. But we also even saw it between Nan and MM when the new neighbors moved in. And they were talking about who's a virgin, who's not a virgin, who's lost it, who hasn't lost
it. Trying to one-up one another.
Trying to one-up one another, going over, bringing the cake. And Nan's like, I'm going to win him over with my sweet side.
And my mind reading.
And my mind reading. Totally cheating.
Can we talk about Madison Montgomery's foul mouth this episode? I couldn't believe some of the things that she was saying.
Like what?
Like when she was saying at the neighbor's house about how I saw you with your shirt off and made me want to know what was under the rest of the package. And when the mom came over and she's like, he was so backed up that all I would have to do is mention and panties. Yeah.
I hate
don't remember
P-word.
That.
I definitely remember that.
I remember it, but I kind of like enjoyed
David,
it.
David remembers it, but he's like, I said that like earlier.
Yeah.
I mean, it's totally normal.
The writing, like I was, everything that came out of her mouth, I was like, dang, that I would slap a child.
Well, actually, speaking of the writing, there is a different writer. So, Ryan Murphy was involved in the first episode, and then the second episode had another writer, and this episode has another writer.
Right.
So I don't know, are you guys seeing, you know, differences in things, because it's three different styles?
The only real difference that I saw this week so far was cinematography.
Mm.
Not necessarily writing style.
So maybe directing.
But directing and cinematography, it sort of, as a whole, made me a little nauseous with the fisheye lens.
Yes.
See, I liked that stuff.
I want to know what your favorite. Can we go like do the Kardashians like peaks? What do they do? Peaks and valleys.
Oh,
what was your most favorite and least favorite moment cinematography wise from the episode?
I know my least favorite moment was when in the beginning of the episode when Fiona is talking about the dance and the camera was sideways.
Oops. Yeah,
and then it moved to regular. It was like very disorienting to me.
Mm-hmm. Was there a favorite?
I didn't have a favorite, no.
I can't think of any time I was blown away either. I do remember that scene that you're talking about, though.
I think there's a lot of darkness in this episode, which, I mean, personally, I don't like. I feel like it can be used as a useful tool in some circumstances to make things a little bit more scary, but in this case, I just was like, I can't see what's going on.
Right.
And I want to see what's going on.
Okay.
So it really didn't add anything for me. What about you, Oriana?
I really liked the style, but I agree the fisheye lens confused me because it made me think, are we looking through someone else's eyes right now? Mm. Because that's good to me point. What it connotes, and I didn't understand, like, okay, so there's somebody inside the
we
middle of the table.
Could have been.
But that is kind of like, I mean, I feel like that is sort of what they were getting at, maybe.
Like, but who, what? I mean, so just, it could have a been question in my mind.
The butler, who can't speak. We might have been looking through his eyes.
Okay.
That's a good one.
My favorite moment, although I really liked the shot of Queenie and the Minotaur mm-hmm. having their dirty, dirty beast love. The shadows, the way it looked, I thought it was gorgeous. But Angela Bassett, when she's sitting on her throne of alligator heads, and she's just, I mean, I thought that was framed beautifully, and I just thought, wow.
Yeah, that was
she
a good moment.
So powerful.
So there. Powerful. Yeah. And so, like, her acting performance is so strong, but you can't help but be intimidated by someone who's sitting on a throne of, like, skulls and skeletons.
Well, since we're still on the topic of M.M., Fiona, and Foxy, let's talk about Foxy.
Yeah, let's talk about Foxy.
Because Foxy, this episode, we find out that something is happening with Fiona and Foxy.
Right.
Yes.
Fiona cannot get operated on for whatever reason, and Foxy cannot have children.
Well, they said, the doctor said that Fiona's immune system is compromised.
Right.
And
so,
her blood work was...
was weird.
Bizarre.
So they
and they said the same thing to Foxy.
Mm-hmm.
That her blood work
was not
weird,
conducive to
and she
a baby.
Can't have a child.
I mean, that's what happens when you have witchy bitchy blood.
Right. Is it though?
I guess, you know, we're sort of finding things out with everyone else. So I think that's just another layer that we sort of, you know, peeled away. But it broke my heart when she went to talk to Angela Bassett's character. What is her name?
Marie Laveau.
When she went to go talk to Marie Laveau, and you know, we got to see a little bit of the ritual. There was sperm, goat's blood.
It was 2 ounces of sperm.
No, they called it something.
Baby juice.
Your man's baby juice.
It was baby juice.
I literally wrote down
baby gravy.
Baby gravy.
They called it.
Thank you.
I wrote down.
I wrote down sperm suffering and goat slaughter. so that's the Cliff Notes version.
There was also a pepper hotter than Hades
on a stick
that she ate.
That she ate, which that was the sacrifice.
Yeah.
Then they slit the goats. I was very confused as to what the whole ritual actually was.
Well, basically, she was saying, as far as the pepper for herself, since she was the one that was sort of conjuring the power, she needed to prove to the gods that she was in pain as well.
Ah.
Gotcha.
So that's why she ate the pepper.
She had a spicy hot oven hot pepper.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like double hot.
But it broke my heart when sort of the fantasy ended. And she just laughed in Foxy's face and was like, I'm not helping you. Right. Your mother is the biggest biatch ever and my mortal enemy.
Yeah, she literally called her mortal enemy.
Which is totally foreshadowing, I think. But I was relieved because I thought, oh, no, this is her chance to implant a devil baby or do something horrible to her as revenge against Fiona, because maybe she knows Fiona doesn't care about her daughter very much. I don't know.
There's that, but I also feel like Marie's not that type of person.
I think that she will do something if Foxy would have done something to her.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. She's more of like...
she's above it.
Eye for an eye type of person. Less of a, I'm going to do something to
just
spite
totally
you.
Maliciously.
Less
I
like
have a question,
Fiona.
Though. So
yes.
Like if... okay, so Fiona and Foxy, if they have the same... do you think it's the same thing that's going on with their blood? Or like two just like weird... because like Fiona had a child, obviously.
We don't know how, which is something that we discussed last week. We don't know if possibly she was a magical baby as well.
Oh, gotcha.
Like a snake,
yes,
magical
I do
snake.
Remember. Right.
Yeah. Ring of fire baby.
I don't want to bring the preview to next week into it too much, but I do think that there was a witches council set up. And, you know, guys, correct me if I'm wrong. We love your comments. We do read them. I feel like it has something to do with killing the Supreme. That maybe her entire bloodline is going to be ultimately destroyed now because she killed the Supreme.
Because Fiona
killed the Supreme.
Which, like, taints her bloodline.
Exactly. So that's why Foxy is going through the same thing. I don't know, but it sort of hinted at that in the preview. I'd like to watch
that
again.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because Cordelia was visibly upset at what was happening. And also she found out that Fiona had killed the Supreme before her.
Right.
Did she find that out, though?
I don't remember.
She did. I think that she said she was surprised to find out that Fiona had gone to see her.
Right.
Had gone to go see Marie.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't know why.
Mm-hmm.
But Marie sort of explained to her that she wants to start an all-out war.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'm talking about the Witches' Council.
That hasn't... We don't know that hasn't happened.
No, I know, but I'm just saying, like, in that little snippet of a preview, sort of were given a lot, and I...
Oh, yes.
You know.
But I think at this point in Fiona's and Cordelia's world, Cordelia still doesn't know that.
Yeah. I don't think
or
she
maybe
does.
Or maybe she does.
I mean, she has a husband that's mysteriously gone all the time.
He's right. On vacation.
So I was corrected, and this is present day.
Yes.
However, he's so absent.
I want to know what he does.
She's able to like live two
construction
lives.
Construction.
Pretty much.
I think. Yeah. I think he does construction.
He's a traveling construction man, it seems. Yes. And it leaves... I think that's a really good point you made. It almost lets her... It conveniently lets her live a double life.
Right.
But he knows about that part of her life.
But he doesn't... I don't think he knows that she's like... mentoring all those girls. Or
yeah,
like,
he does. He was at the house.
That's what was weird. We talked about it last week that it seemed so disconnected that she has this like loving husband but acts kind of like this widower that's all depressed.
Right, like a spinster, right.
That's right, spinster, exactly. So to me that's unexplained. Like that's very odd.
It is very unexplained and I feel like it's going to be explained to us eventually.
Okay.
But I mean, let's hope they explain it, because the husband coming for, like, 2 seconds and then not reappearing ever again is going to be very confusing.
You know what I would love for you guys to explain to me?
If we can.
The Misty-Kyle relationship.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay. We definitely need to...
We need to go
jump into
Misty, Kyle, Zoe,
and
Mom.
Kyle.
Oh, yeah.
Kyle's mother.
Whoa.
Oh, my God. One of the scream-worthy moments. At least two.
Cringe-worthy. I mean, we were all squirming in our chairs, and literally, I think all four of us were squealing like piggies when that was happening.
I was jaw-dropped like...
Well, when at first, when she said...
staring face.
When she opened the shower curtain...
Okay, we'll get to that. Don't get to that right now. Because there's other things that we need to talk to before we talk about Kyle's mother.
Fine.
There's more important things about Kyle.
Then go.
Shut up.
Go. Then tell me.
So, we see Misty and Kyle this week lying in bed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Listening to...
The best witch of all.
The original Fleetwood Mac. And Misty's sort of... I don't know if she's, like, enamored by him or she's, like, in love with him. But when Zoe comes, she sort of has this motherly reaction to Kyle leaving and saying that he can't leave. He still needs me.
But also,
and did you
like
guys feel? Did you guys feel that he needs her or she needs him?
She needs somebody.
Him. Yeah.
Whether it's a Franken Kyle, she comes off as so desperate. She says, "You can't be your best self until you find your tribe."
And she hasn't yet.
She hasn't.
And that's something else that Marie says to Fiona.
Yeah.
To Cordelia.
Yes.
To Foxy. She says, "You were born into the wrong tribe."
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. That's a big theme in this show.
Right.
But I feel like she comes off as she doesn't have her tribe. She's clinging to anything.
Yeah.
And Kyle was a bump in a log that let her do whatever she wanted. Who knows what that was?
Well, I mean... He kind of didn't have a choice.
Yeah.
But I also think there was a sense of pride. You know, she healed him.
Right.
She did this, and that's what made her have ownership over him. You know, she abandoned you. That's the first thing she said. Yeah. Why do you want to go with her? She abandoned you. And I think she has some abandonment issues.
Clearly.
Obviously, where is daddy? Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
Where is daddy?
Or mommy.
Why was she in that weird culty religious group in the beginning?
Right.
Right? That burned her.
Maybe she was looking for her tribe.
There's a lot about Misty that we still don't really know.
We don't really know anything about her, yeah.
Well, we know that she can bring people back from the dead.
She loves Fleetwood Mac.
And
she loves Stevie Nicks.
Fleetwood Mac.
Yeah.
I mean.
When the witch
she
war
can join my
she
tribe.
Died.
When the witch war comes into play, she's gonna be probably a main character.
You're right, and who knows which side she's gonna fall on. But it did seem weird to me, you know, Zoe comes and there's this weird possession. And that's where I saw the whole woman against woman thing of like, he's mine. No, he's mine.
Right.
No, he wants to be with me. No, he wants to be with me. Don't you want to be with me? Like this weird possession. He doesn't belong to either of you.
And it all has to do with the men. Yeah.
A lot of the men in the show are
objects.
They're objects, but they also are mute. Yeah. If you've noticed, a lot of the men don't talk.
Yeah, like even the neighbor barely said
anything.
We've
got David. Hot. That was brilliant.
It's true.
We've got hot
this
neighbor.
This show is about women.
Hot neighbor guy that doesn't have a voice because his mother's taking it away.
Exactly.
We've got husband that's mysteriously travels all the time. We've got even goes down to Frank and Kyle and Bastien the Minotaur who can't talk.
Oh yeah,
and jeez, also, you are so
and also every other guy has been killed off.
So. And the butler.
And the butler has no tongue. You are amazing, by the way, for putting that together.
Ding, 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 that was.
Yep.
I mean, the show it's about women. Let's be honest, and so the men aren't necessarily.
Necessary.
I mean, they could speak.
They're for cleaning up messes.
You don't need them. And I mean, even at this point, the butler isn't even really needed because his job is being replaced by Madame.
Well, she's a maid.
Lotherie.
Well, he's still useful because he's still cleaning up after Fiona. Right. But also when she talked about the dance and how they were all these men that she had and they were faceless and nameless and they all kind of went into one same thing. They were just. They're just being used.
Yes.
Right.
And that's all part of the game.
But also, a lot about the dance was about youth, because if you talk about her, if you listen to what she was saying, she was talking about how she grew older, but the men stayed the same, basically.
Yeah. And that being about youth, but also about they didn't get any respect.
No, not at all.
Ever.
And of course, when Fiona and MM are at the cafe, she's like, take this man and make him...
Right, it
do
wasn't
something
a woman
that's
or anything,
important.
Yeah.
Make him do something that you want him to do.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, speaking of men being taken advantage of, Kyle was molested by his mother. Yeah. Surprise! Whoa! Mind blown.
It's not something that you would have expected.
Ever expected.
No.
Oh, my
God. First
of all,
just by her
turning.
Appearance alone, like when we first met her, I was shocked. And so can I talk about the shower scene now? Because you wouldn't let me before.
Go ahead.
Okay.
You're so like obsessed with the shower scene.
Well, because I was waiting for something to happen because it was like this like homoerotic shower scene.
But can we back it up to when the look he gives Zoe when she pulls him in and that look?
I didn't pick up on that because I just like he's so weird anyways. Mm-hmm. I was weirded out that she took him to begin with from Misty because I was like, he clearly, like, do you really think you can take care of him? Like, he looks so, like,
Franken.
Broken.
And then she abandons him.
Then she abandons him. Again.
Ding dong ditch.
Yeah. He was like,
here's your dead kid.
And he gives her that look of, like, I thought it was desperation, but we didn't realize how desperate.
Right. So, anyway, so he's in that shower scene, which I knew something weird was going to happen, but I didn't know. And then, like, when she opened the shower curtain and she said his body didn't look the same, I was like, that's weird. I was like, that's strange. It's kind of weird that she would know what her grown son's parts look like. I had no idea still, though, that it was going to go.
And I was thinking the scars.
Yeah,
that she was thinking, looking at him going, like, what's wrong with you?
Not what's wrong with you. Yeah.
See, I thought the shower scene was going to be about him discovering himself because he's like,
I thought it was
what
too.
Is this?
It was the porno.
Because clearly, I mean, let's be honest, he probably has a big D now because Madison picked it.
The best boyfriend.
Okay. So, like, I'm thinking he's looking down and he's like,
oh,
look at my hands. Look at my hands down here and over here and over here. Like, that's what I was thinking. And then when they're laying in the bed and the mom starts kissing his mouth, I mean, listen, I know some people that mouth kiss their parents. That's not me. But
that was different.
I was like, okay, fine. And then I maybe saw a little bit tough tongue.
That was an open mouth kiss.
And then we were like, no. We started screaming no.
No. But not only that, it was like, he's like disabled. It was like taking advantage of a disabled person on top of like molesting your own son who can't fight back. Like, he clearly could never fight back before because he was a child, but now he's a grown man who is physically like paralyzed.
Right. The interesting thing about all of that is when the mother comes back and right before he bludgeons her with a trophy
in the face,
she says to him that maybe you needed it as much as I did, which leads me to believe whether or not he was a child when it started. If it continued on when he was a grown adult, is it possible that he not necessarily wanted it, but didn't mind it?
No, not possible at all. That's actually
it's just a question.
That is actually an important part of understanding sex abuse.
Right.
Is no, that I know. I'm just playing devil's advocate.
Because it's sexually pleasing, it can be confusing to, especially a child, even if they're just 18 years old, because it's right. your right. parent, that it might feel good, but it's completely and totally wrong. And so you get these mixed messages, and that's why these people are so tortured inside, because right. it's so wrong, yet your body's reacting in a different way.
And the mother's reaction, you know, when, why didn't you tell me about this girl? She can't please you the way I can.
Ew.
She doesn't know you like I know you.
Like, it's all very weird.
So cringeworthy. But I saw parallels with the way Misty was acting.
Yeah.
Like, she doesn't know you. She's abandoned you.
And maybe that's why he was so willing to leave.
Maybe.
Because yeah. she reminds, Misty reminds Kyle of his mother.
Okay.
And Zoe is so...
Yeah.
Out to lunch. Constantly.
Oh!
Zoe has the best intentions, okay? She goes...
She,
she calls the mother. The mother is clearly on the verge of committing suicide, hanging mm-hmm. herself because her son has died. Clearly, her husband has also passed at some point.
Right. Is she?
And...
Her husband left.
Ooh.
She said he left us.
Dead, yeah. whatever.
Abandoned.
It's probably the same
thing. Tomatoes, tomatoes.
Abandonment.
Yeah. Abandonment issues. And Zoe has the best intention. She goes over. She sees the mother is clearly distraught. She doesn't know that Kyle's being abused. So she mm-hmm. wants to sort of help this woman. Okay.
So naturally bring the Franken
so
boy back.
So naturally bring the dead child that you brought back to life and sewn up.
Can't speak at all.
Ooh, and I was so excited because the twit pic of Evan Peters that I talked about in News and Gossip last week,
mm-hmm.
it was from this episode.
From this
episode. I was like, everything's coming full circle, guys. Emma Roberts didn't beat him up again.
Well, ironically, she dies in this episode and he is victorious, you know. Like, I don't know if that's the right word, but he felt victorious killing his mom because he finally got to say no and stop her.
Right.
Right.
And his first word is spoken since we...
Did he say a word?
He said no.
He said no.
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 No. No.
See, I didn't hear that as words.
I didn't either.
It was no.
It was an N-O. Yeah.
It was...
Oh, yeah.
No
totally
means
no.
Not
okay,
no.
Between
to
between the spewed flesh on the wall and on him, there was a no in there.
Interesting.
Okay.
That's what got him so riled up because she kept going on and on and on. And he just said, no.
He still kind of scares me a little. Like, I wouldn't... I know he probably isn't going to hurt Zoe, but I... Just any time he's shown, I'm frightened. Like, because you never know what's going to...
And his performance.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
The way that he's physically acting, I can't imagine how difficult that must be.
Yeah.
And he's so convincing.
Yeah.
He's such an incredible actor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Such an incredible actor. Speaking of other incredible actors, Kathy Bates...
I know.
Amazing.
...is killing me.
She?
As this... 17th century woman.
Racist.
Yeah. Racist as
all
hell.
Serial killer.
Watching the boob tube, crying about how this country has gone to shit because we have a black president.
That is
and Fiona,
amazing.
I voted for him, and I voted for him twice.
That was amazing.
I did.
And the, so,
some of the stuff she says, too, I mean, I won't repeat it, but it's quite... Amazing.
It's very comical. I enjoy her a lot.
I do kind of like, we've been complaining about the racism on the show, and it is fun now that they've kind of propped it up and now they're like swinging it down.
Right.
That's much more fun to see a racist, a horrible racist serial killer have to be punished. That's much more fun than watching innocent people.
Right.
Yes, you know? Of course. And she's being punished in a completely different way this week because Fiona makes her the new maid of the house and forces her to be Queenie's slave.
Oh, the irony.
After she breaks down and says, I may be a maid, but there are limits to my servitude.
Right, because she doesn't want to serve
Queenie.
Yeah. Queenie because,
you
know, Queenie's black.
I mean,
notice.
But we've yet to see her sort of vulnerable, Madame Lalaurie, and this
up
episode
until this point.
We do see her vulnerable because Bastien
returns, which we're all I think a little bit confused about still as to why he is a Minotaur
and why he's
still.
More
an
he's
actual Minotaur.
He has
he has hooves and like the sense of smell. Like you notice with the little
yeah.
because correct me if I'm wrong.
It's a ghost,
so
right?
when Did someone just call him a ghost?
No. I did, or no.
He's not a ghost. Physically there.
He's real.
Yeah.
Because his lover is Madame Marie Laveau, who also kept him alive immortally, just like Madame LaLaurie.
Okay, but she kept him with the head.
Well, that's
this is where
confused.
I'm getting at.
Okay.
Okay, so when Marie found him, he was on the verge of death with the Minotaur head on.
Right.
It wasn't like sewn to his
head.
It was just placed on his head. Mm-hmm. And they took out what? His
kidney?
Liver or his pancreas?
Pancreas.
To make that weird cream for her face. Okay, so he's on the verge of death. Marie finds him, keeps him alive somehow, but doesn't take the bull head off of him.
Very mysterious.
And is like, you're dying, but you know what?
I like that look.
Like that.
That's a good look on you, honey.
I like it. You look good like that.
I really don't know.
Then how do the hooves make sense?
Well, he's turning into a bull,
and again, maybe it has to do with some sort of potion that she gave him, because maybe she couldn't give him the same one that she gave to Madame LaLaurie to keep her fresh as a daisy.
Right.
Maybe she had to sort of change the potion a little bit to maybe, I don't know, have him assume his ultimate form, or
like he had to be as
or
is.
What they thought would be his ultimate. What Madame LaLaurie.
The form comes as is, honey.
Yeah.
No return.
I'm like damaged goods, lady.
It's gonna get worse.
I mean, from here down, it's still. See his abs?
Well, yeah. I mean, he's like still like he looks exactly the same from the neck down,
he
except
made
for
sweet
his feet.
Love to Queenie.
Ooh.
I don't know about the sweet love.
Well, it was sweet in the beginning. It
okay,
seemed
so we find
sweet.
Out. It seemed kind of sweet. Kind of.
They're just beasts that both want love.
Okay.
Just let the beast. She's with
Queenie.
She's
I thought she
we find out is a virgin, and is apparently willing to give up her V card when. Madame
oh God!
Marie,
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, you did to a Minotaur and
to the Minotaur. So. She gets, Madame Lurie freaks out because Bastien is back, and she's like, my houseboy's back. Queenie cuts her and is like, oh, I got this, girl. goes outside, lures him into the greenhouse.
With the blood.
With the blood.
Yeah.
And then is either doing some weird voodoo person
she's
stuff.
She's touching herself.
Yeah.
Right, but is she,
him.
Like, doing, like, making him hard by touching herself?
Oh, I didn't even think about
that. Because she's the voodoo lady.
Oh, I didn't even
she's
think
she's the human voodoo doll, so she got herself
excited,
oh my God.
So he got excited.
I didn't even think about that.
And then
that.
He comes around and, like,
mounts her.
I thought breathes he was going to, like, take that and just cut her. Like, I had no idea.
So confused as to if they actually had sex.
So
right, from
here's
behind.
What I'm thinking. First, I thought maybe she died. Then we see in the preview she's... At least not well.
Still, right.
She's not well.
Well, I mean, you try being
that's what
screwed
I was
by a
say,
bowl.
Is that he's got to have to put his little his hand over her face,
like,
because V-card, hello, ouch. And Minotaur, bull, ouch.
Penis.
Right.
What if she becomes pregnant with, like, a half-Minotaur baby?
Well, it wouldn't be like
minotaur.
A half-Minotaur. It would be a full Minotaur. Or a quarter.
Or we don't even know, because we don't know what is going on with this with Bastien.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
So many questions.
There's so
about
many...
him.
Him particularly.
Him particularly, yeah. Because I want to know, I want to hear him talk for some reason.
I don't think he can.
I don't think he can either, because
he's a man.
He's a man. Right. He can't speak. Of course not.
I just, I wanted,
even ever wonder?
I, really like
I wanted so much more for Clarice Precious Jones. I did. Queenie. Wanted more for her.
Why did you call her Clarice?
You didn't see the movie Precious?
I did.
That was her first
name? Hello, my name is Clarice Precious Jones. I want to be a movie star.
No, nobody.
It
right.
was a while ago.
Yeah. Now. Okay.
It's been a while.
It's been a little while.
I guess you didn't read the novel Push by Sapphire.
Yeah. I did not. I did not.
Okay.
All right.
Okay,
I'm sorry.
Get on that.
Next right. time.
I would love to see the bull make some noise.
At least I would like to see the full sex scene.
Ew.
Just to see what happened.
Just curiosity.
It was dark. They kept, that was one of the
And they
dark,
cut away.
Scenes.
He put his hand over her mouth and then they cut.
Yep.
Right.
I would like to know if they intercoursed or not.
Intercoursed.
If they sexed it up or they didn't.
But or does he hurt her because she is a part of this tribe?
Or does he hurt her because he's got
a Minotaur
a bull's
wing, and
penis.
And she's a virgin.
And she's a virgin.
Hung like
we
a horse.
Do not
Or a bowl.
A bowl.
Ouch.
Or not. Either way.
She seemed to be enjoying herself.
For a hot second.
I thought she was dead as a doornail the second she walked outside.
Yeah.
I had no idea it was going to go there. Did you expect that? I had a feeling that she was not going to die.
I did not expect her to be like, yeah, we're both beasts who need love.
Let's get it out. Let's do it.
Right.
But it was a very fragile, like, tender moment in that bizarre, perverted way of her just kind of being like, I just want love too, you know, and I bet you want love. And the fact is that everybody is a human being, even if they're part Minotaur or witch, they all have this sense of wanting love and affection. And everybody wants it, but these perversions of the mom getting it from Kyle and like, and Misty not knowing where to get it from and all these people who haven't found their tribes.
I think we were so traumatized too by the time it got to the point where Queenie was with him that it was just like, okay.
Over the top.
All right, now we're having bestiality happening here. It's fine.
But is it bestiality?
Because he's half man.
He's only half.
Oh, true. I don't know.
We need to call somebody about this.
Is there a hotline we can call? If you know. Yes, viewers, audience, listeners.
Let us know. Comment on iTunes, on YouTube. Let us know what you think. If you have a sort of better sense as to how any of that is working.
Yeah, because, I mean, we're just four minds, and we do read all of your comments.
We do.
Believe me. Please, please, please comment and tell us what you think about Bastien and why he sort of morphed into the Minotaur and what you think about that, because I know you guys read all the blogs and the spoilers and all that stuff. So we love that.
So let us know what you think.
What's happening there?
Jeez, a lot happened.
A lot happened. I was.
Anything else in this episode that was particularly striking to anybody that they feel like needs to be discussed besides the new neighbors?
So I have something to say about the neighbors, but it was going to be kind of about sort of the way they brought up judgment.
Okay.
Interesting.
So I saw that there was a theme with kind of religious fervor, but also regular old sectarian fervor of judgment.
Okay.
Like Zoe, okay, so she's wide-eyed, but she thinks in her mind that Kyle is better off with his mother.
Right.
So she makes a series of choices to make that happen. She doesn't know. She clearly doesn't know. You just don't know what's best for anybody else other than yourself.
Right.
But then you have the neighbors coming over going, I'm giving you a Bible.
Right.
You
know, this is better for you.
My way is better than your way.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you what to do and how to live your life.
Mm-hmm.
And this idea that anybody knows anything about what anyone else is going through or experiencing, but they're just going to shove their ideas down their throat. It's a theme with Ryan Murphy.
Yes.
Right.
Right, in all of his shows. But I thought it was interesting to see it come from sort of the doe-eyed girl, the innocence, and then
the differences,
the differences between the two, but they end up kind of looking the same.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts?
I think it's very interesting the way that you put it, because it is always a theme in Ryan Murphy's shows, judgment, and people shoving things down each other's throats. And
proverbially or not.
Exactly. Yeah. And I feel like sometimes Ryan Murphy's agenda is getting shoved down his viewers' throats. That being said, it's not that I don't like Ryan Murphy. I love what he does, everything from popular to American Horror Story. With the neighbors, though, I do, when she came over with the Bible, I don't feel like she was trying to pass judgment on anyone. She was asking to have no one bother her.
With a Bible.
She said, I always bring a Bible over to someone's house.
Which I believe.
Which I don't know. Someone whose home I've never been into, I always bring one with.
Which I find personally offensive.
It is very offensive. It is very offensive because you never know whose home you're walking into. It's not your place bringing your religion into someone else's home.
Right.
But it's hard when it comes to what Fiona calls the Bible thumpers.
Sure. Well, she's the devil.
Right.
Right? The devil is saying, I don't need a Bible. I mean, of course she needs to be thumped with a Bible.
Right. Well, clearly.
I thought it was interesting, though, how quickly, like, that just kind of, I mean, maybe in the next episode and stuff like that, they'll be more prevalent. But, like, I mean, they started a fire. Madison started a fire without touching anything in their home. And she's just like, well, here's a Bible. I might sue you guys. See ya. You know? And it's like, what? I don't know. I was just a little
bit
surprised.
Well, it was more like, here's a Bible. Please tell the girls in your house to stay out of mine.
Right.
Have a nice day.
That's it.
And stay away from my son. And my son is I'm afraid, will be permanently scarred by the things he saw and heard.
Right.
You know?
She's not done.
She's not done.
Yeah.
She's not done. She's just begun.
Yeah,
she's
just begun.
Yeah.
Come on.
She's amazing.
Plus Nan. The ultimate mama.
Yeah. The ultimate.
Mm-hmm. Plus, Nan definitely has a thing for the guy and the cake and all that. It was a really cute little bit. So who knows if Nan's going to want to go over there. She has a history of going over to the neighbor's house.
Yeah.
Right? We don't like to compare characters and roles here, but
there are similarities.
Yes, lots.
Ryan Murphy has tricks, but does he have that many?
No, not really. Zoe and Kyle, come on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Either way, tonight's episode was...
incredible.
Fantastic.
I thought so, too.
Really, just, it blew me out of the water.
Best so far, I would say, for me.
I think so.
I also agree. Yeah.
Shocked. Like, wouldn't have predicted. Well, I know you said you guys did a little bit, but I had no idea any of that was happening.
No. Didn't see any of it coming.
No.
None of it.
No.
And I still don't think that we've seen the last of MM, but we'll get to that in predictions.
Yeah. Shall we?
We shall. Let's jump into news and gossip. Does anyone have anything?
Yeah.
Sure. TV news.
I read an article, and I don't know if it was an older article or newer, but apparently Jessica Lange could be done after this season. She sort of hinted at maybe continuing for one more season, but she really wasn't sure. And again, it's like... you know, she's won her Emmy. What else?
And didn't
she hasn't seen season four paychecks yet.
No. Yeah.
Right. Didn't she say that she was retiring from acting altogether, I thought, in the article? She was...
you know, she was very elusive, right. Which is so Jessica.
Yeah.
Love her. And
she's
I just...
writing a book or wrote a book?
Yeah.
Called That's So Jessica. Starring Raven Simone.
Yeah. Oh, perfect.
Perfect.
Yeah, so we don't know if she's done. We do know if she's done. She sort of just dropped as many hints as possible and has everyone collect the pieces and figure it out for themselves. So hopefully we see her for another season because clearly Ryan Murphy and her do have some sort of insane relationship and he loves to write for her and his team loves to write for her. So who knows?
I feel like she is so easy to write for.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have they said how long American Horror Story is going to last?
I don't know personally, but I'm sure the viewers know. So if you guys know, leave it in the comment below. We will talk about it in News and Gossip next week.
Yeah.
I have nothing to add.
Okay.
Yeah,
me neither.
And now, you're after Buzz TV.
So we saw in the preview that the Witches Council is called, and they said that if a witch takes another witch's life, she is to be burned at the stake. Now, in this episode, at the beginning of the episode, Fiona says to the butler, whose character name we cannot remember for the life of us, because it was only mentioned once.
And
the first
never
episode.
Speaks.
She never speaks.
A cat
got your tongue, which... he's the first person to have known that she killed the previous Supreme. Mm-hmm. He also is the only one who knows that she has just killed MM.
Right.
Which led us to believe that she cut out his tongue to keep him quiet. Mm-hmm. So it's possible that no one knows that she killed the previous Supreme.
Right.
And she is now going to be held accountable for both deaths.
We see a familiar redheaded... character.
Yes, Frances Conroy is back.
With her making the accusation, so we don't know how she knows how this information got out. I mean, I did make the point that Cat Got Your Tongue Butler, he could write a note.
Or an email.
Or a novel about what he's seen. I mean, he may not have a tongue, but he still has hands, right?
Right, he still has a brain.
He might be illiterate. We don't know.
We don't know. You know, we really don't know.
But because he can't talk.
So is that,
mean
your,
he
is,
can't
that,
read.
Is that your prediction?
No, I know. I'm just saying. I'm not saying that he can't.
No, it just seemed kind of unrealistic to me that he would never tattle.
I mean, we...
other than just he's so afraid of her and she's got this... She's controlling him out of fear.
Right. It's very possible. I mean, she clearly has the power of mind control, I guess.
She's every, like one she has of all the seven.
She has
whatever.
All the seven wonders.
Do we know
they
what
are.
The seven wonders are?
No, but I'm sure it's a real thing or in some sort of literature. So let us know. Yeah. We'll look for ourselves.
I'm sure it's like earth, air, fire, and water is four of them. And then there's
resurgence.
Three
okay.
More.
What other? What are the other predictions? What are your predictions?
I feel like MM is going to come back. Mm-hmm. I don't think she's going to be a Franken MM, but I think she will be some kind of ghost or something. She will maybe not a ghost because. But she will be back.
I like love Misty that you're style. Using our acronyms and our words.
Yes.
Thank you so
no
much.
Thank you. Of course.
I think that Madison is not done as well. Fiona sort of hints, so they're burying her.
Deep,
but she's worried about what's going to happen in the spring because apparently Homegirl has a lot of things inside her blood.
Right.
So I do think that we're going to find out more about that, and I am super excited for the Witches Council, but even more excited because I looked at the titles of the upcoming episodes, and one of the titles is called Burn Witch Burn.
Ooh, look at you.
Interesting.
So I think that someone's going to burn, and I can't wait.
At the stake? I mean, we did see a stake being put up.
We did.
But next week is our Halloween episode.
Oh, cool, yeah.
So it could just be Halloween decorations being put up.
My prediction is that Zoe is going to doe-eyed go in and try to clean up the mess that Kyle made and just create another mess for someone else to clean up, like Fiona.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would not be surprised.
That's a great prediction.
Zoe. I still think she's our supreme.
I hate her. Sorry.
We'll see.
We will see.
Yeah.
That was our episode. Thank you guys for tuning in. From everyone here at the AfterBuzz TV studios.
Thanks for having me.
Myself, Maria. Thank you, Sarah. Where can people find you, Sarah?
I'm at Sarah on the go, Sarah with an H.
I am at Jillian Leff or on my website, jillianleff.com.
And you can find me at Miss Oriana Leo on Twitter or Instagram, Oriana Leo.
You can find me at You Can Call Me Skiff on Twitter and Insta. From everyone here at the AfterBuzz TV studios, have a good night.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.